if you love to worship and to praise and to allow the Spirit of God to have His way, and you know somebody else that does, invite them to the promise. We scare away more people than stick. We do. But I've also read the scripture that says few find the way. Narrow is the path. Does it say that? And many, many will not find it. And the scripture says that the Father, Jesus Himself said, the Father is seeking such to worship Him who worship in spirit and in truth. That's whom the Father is seeking. That's whom the Father is seeking. And if you enjoy that presence and that anointing, reach out to somebody else that has that desire. Tell them there's a place they can go where the Spirit is Lord. Tell them. All right? All right, we're talking about how we can be led by the Holy Spirit. And this is number two, part two in the teaching. Well, as I said to you, I'm going to share from my heart personal experiences. And, you know, they're not all good. Some of them, people get hurt. But it's life. It is life. What happens in life. How many of you know you don't go through life without having some nicks and scratches? Well, it was back in 1982, and we were in the city of Welkom, South Africa. And Welkom is simply the word welcome. And we were busy building our brand new first sanctuary. And we had purchased an old warehouse. And myself as a senior pastor and one of my other pastors were working with me. And we had just delivered that day 10,000 concrete bricks. These are bricks this size that have the holes in the middle. Do you know the bricks I'm talking about? Concrete blocks, cinder blocks. Okay. Well, the whole building consisted of this. And we were building some extra walls. But we had to do some tear down. But because it's not built like America, like your buildings, you can't just knock it down. We had lots of fun in America knocking down buildings. But not there. You have to cut it with a concrete cutter. And he and I, have you seen my hands? These are preacher's hands. Okay? I write. I think and I write. It doesn't do well in gardening or construction. Okay? It's foreign. And we were working with this electric saw cutting through the concrete. So we looked like spooks covered in concrete dust. Ghosts? You don't want to? Casper. Ghosts, okay? I mean, just our eyes and teeth, right? And we were covered everywhere, and we were cutting, and suddenly I got this terrible sensation, a sick feeling that either he or I are going to get hurt with this thing. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's making a terrible, we're grinding, we're cutting. I mean, it's ear-piercing, deafening. And through all of that, I get the sensation in me, we're going to get hurt. So I back off. He's working with the tool, I'm backing off. So one of us is out of this equation. Feeling doesn't go away. I walk further and further away, doesn't go away. So now I began to pray because I want to know what's happening. I've got this unhappiness in me. I've got this urgency in me. Something is wrong. And I began to pray. And I just didn't get a sense of relief. The more I prayed, kind of the less happy I was. And so I kept praying. Eventually, I went up and said, John, please put that thing down. Just put it down. Well, what's the matter? I said, I am so unhappy right now. Something is terribly wrong. Please put it down. He put it down. We stepped back. I said, I've still got to pray. And I prayed 20 minutes later. Feeling left, somebody walked in the front door and said, Jackie's just been involved in a car accident. I said, are you serious? Yeah. Back there, we had a Mercedes 280. What are these big old boys? And Jackie's a speedster. That's it. She loves, and My sister, while you're here, she was actually used to drive sports cars on the track, this girl. Yeah. Okay, now it's out. Don't talk about me. I've got the mic. I'll talk about you. Anyway, so Jackie is speeding home from work, and the roads, as I explained last week, traffic both sides in a line in the middle. Okay, so, I mean, it's really difficult. You have to be alert to what you're doing. So she's coming along, goes over the railway line, which causes a blind rise. And she's coming up behind this car, which is traveling far too slow for her. So she pulls over at the top of the blind rise and goes past this car. I'm probably going to say it's 70 miles an hour. And she's heading down the other side, and she sees a truck, so she figures she'll just go whizzing right past the truck at the same time. There's a big gap, there's 100 yards or more, you know, maybe 200 yards between the car and the gap. No problem, she's going to whiz past it. So she whizzes down the hill, and as she's passing, or about to approach, in her eyesight, she sees a little guy on his little scooter, a little, you know, moped type buzz bike thing. You know those things? Moped? Yeah. Coming at her. She's doing 70 miles an hour. Absolutely would kill this person. There is no doubt. The problem is it's a solid white line. What do you think that is? Manslaughter. She decides to come in behind the truck and to slow down. No problem, except the truck is stationary. The truck was waiting to turn, and it was the little dust road the truck was going to turn in. She didn't realize when she was coming up behind this thing why this guy was slowing down, because there was a stationary truck up ahead. And she had a choice: kill this person or drive into the truck. And she drove into the truck at 70 miles an hour, stationary truck. Absolutely crushed that Mercedes. And that's the exact time that I was praying in a construction site and couldn't get any relief. The car was almost a write-off, and she got out of there with a bruised knee. So, material thing was destroyed, not a problem. But life, precious, God protects. Okay? You have to be ready when the Spirit of God leads you to respond. To do what He says do. Even if you don't understand what He's saying do, then just pray. If you're not getting a clear signal, pray. 2001, I believe it was January. How many heard the story about Cindy? Let me reverse this. How many have not heard the story about Cindy being involved in a motorbike accident? You have not heard the story. Raise your hand. You've not heard the story. Raise your hand real high. Real high. Hayden and Sandy, stand up. Both of you stand up. Keep your hands up. They need to see this. They need to see this. Real high. Never heard the story. Point? Settled? Do I win? Oh, you. Oh, you stand up now and look. Okay. All right. So, Cindy shared the story back in October when she preached here for us. So I'm going to share it again, since we have a new congregation anyway. I had taken Jackie to Nigeria to get prayed for by Prophet Joshua for healing manifestation. And we left Nigeria and went to South Africa. And we were waiting in South Africa for a month in order to return back to Nigeria. And during that month, we had opportunity to travel and preach, and it was a Christmas period and all this kind of stuff. Well, in the New Year, as the New Year clicked over, one day in my prayer time, or whatever, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something, I suddenly got one of these urges, something is wrong, I need to pray. This time it was very, very specific. It wasn't like when I was cutting, working in the building, I didn't know what I was praying about. This time it was very specific. Pray for Cindy. So, all right. I begin to pray, and I'm praying, and I'm specifically praying. The sense I'm getting very clearly is pray for her protection and safety. Now, you know, Cindy travels the world, just like Hayne. I never know where they are unless they call me or text or email, or usually email. You know, I try and keep a record of where they are. She was in Carousel, Dutch Island. And I was praying for her, and I just just kept on, you know, going after the Holy Spirit and saying there's speaking life over her and stuff like this. Well, what had happened was that she was out one of the days off. They were in a port, Carousel Port. She was on the back of her motorcycle. They were out on the day with friends. And this guy was really cutting it. I don't know how fast he was going, somewhere between 50 and 70 miles an hour. And they had helmets on, praise God for that, and came into a sharp turn, geared down, but couldn't make the turn. Went off the side of the road into the barrier. And she was obviously thrown way over. He was thrown way over. It was a horrendous accident. The paramedics came out, picked them up. She had tremendous pain in her arm. She couldn't breathe. The paramedics were actually helping her breathe. And they told her, you're in shock. But when they got to the hospital, they said, you have a punctured lung. That's why she couldn't breathe. And they were helping her breathe, breathe in, breathe out, like, you know, to make sure that she could breathe. And they did that all the way to the hospital. They got to the hospital. The gentleman who was riding the cycle, what's his name? Pete. They did x-rays on him, broke his leg in four places. Did x-rays on Cindy. She had broken her arm, just like Sly. Okay, you fell off your bicycle. You know what that feels like. And doctors are talking 8 to 12 weeks. She broke her arm here, and she had fractures across her wrist. She had cuts all over her body that needed to be sutured up, and she had the punctured lung. And I was praying for her at that exact time. Now, if you work for the ships, if you're a crew member, and you have a break in the bones, okay, and they have to put you into a cast, they are not permitted to take you back on the ship. You have to stay wherever you are. She would have to be left behind in Carousel. They give you your passport. And if you've got a friend on the ship, they'll bring you your credit card and any money you've got. And the clothes you're wearing is what you've got. And you make your own way home, and there's no insurance, no flights, you're on your own. And you're probably dismissed as a crew member. Fired. Okay? So, they contact the ship's doctor. What's his name again? Sal?
Sal.
They contact Sal, and who happened to be a friend of her, Cindy's, and says, listen, this is what's the condition. But she's far worse than the guy who is driving. She's far worse. Then they come back in and they say, we've got to do more x-rays. They take her and the x-rays the chest. We've got now four broken ribs. And the arm is a little fuzzy. They're not sure. They want to operate or set it or what they need to do. They do a second set of x-rays. Now four doctors are in the room. And Pete, the guy who was driving the bike, who's got, you know, everything broken up, he's screaming for help, for painkillers, and all the doctors are with her. So they take her in for a third set of x-rays. By now she's crying and she's saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? Because obviously if there's four doctors and they're doing x-rays again and again and again, you know this is pretty serious, because whatever they got to do, it's an emergency and they need to know what exactly they got to do to fix it. And she's crying and crying and crying. They bring her back again. She said, please tell me what's the problem. They said, that's the problem. What's the problem? She says, there's nothing wrong with you. They said, here's the first x-rays, broken arm, broken hand. Here's the second one, looks a little fuzzy. Here's the third one, no sign. She got to the ship, and Sal, the doctor, took care of her, sutured her up. Pete was left behind in Carousel. Couldn't get on the ship. He was all broken up. Didn't have anybody praying for him, I guess. I'm telling you now, being led by the Holy Spirit is life and death. We're not in church here just to hear some strange doctrine or just something that'll tickle your ears. Your parents, your children, your family, your friends are at stake. God will speak to you if you're able to listen, okay? All right, so that's what we're talking about, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. God promises to lead us. He gives us a promise. If you look at Psalm 32, verse 8, and the book of Isaiah 30, verse 21, I'll read to you from the book of Psalms 32, 8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Again, I'm going to teach you in the way that you should go, and I will counsel you and watch over you. Beautiful. Type that out, put it on your refrigerator, keep it in your car, say that day after day after day. It's a promise God is making to you that he's going to teach you in the way that you should go. It's a promise. You could stand up every morning and say, today, Lord, you're going to show me what I should do and how I should do it, and you're going to teach me to do it. See, it's promise. And the book of Isaiah 30, verse 21, whether you turn to the right or whether you turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. How about that? Is that something you could take to the bank? Okay. When you're walking along, you can expect to hear the voice of God saying to you, turn left, turn right, walk here. And it's not supposed to be uncommon. It's not supposed to be spooky, spiritual, like shaky, like that's a funny church. God talks to them. You know, if you go to, there's so many people in mental asylums today because they said they can hear God. Go to the doctor and say, listen, I think I'm hearing God talk to me. They give you medication. They will. You're hearing voices. That's out of the question. But it's supposed to be a daily occurrence with us. This is how God's supposed to lead us. So the question is then, how does God lead us? Well, there's various methods, as I mentioned last week. He can lead you through the Word, which is one of the most important methods. He can lead you through visions and dreams. He could lead you through Word of Wisdom, and we'll look at one of those today. But today we're going to focus on the three ways that we're led by our Spirit, with the Holy Spirit indwelling us. They are the inward witness, the inward voice, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. The inward witness, the inward voice, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. If time permits, I will get through the first two today. The inward witness and the inward voice. Now, the inward witness of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit communicating with our spirit. It is the primary way that God leads His children. This is the way He leads ministers. This is the way He leads business people, by the inward witness. This is the one you want to cultivate. This is the one that you need to desire to walk after. Look at Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So again, one of the sure signs that you are a child of God is that you are actually being led by the Spirit of God. If you are not being led by the Spirit of God, you ought to be a little concerned. You see, the foot, now, if you have a look at it, I'm saying the common, the way that's normal is us being led by the Spirit. Normally when somebody says, the Lord told me something, we go, really? What did He say? Like, we're freaking out. God talks to you? Whoa. Are you going to have a seminar? Write a book? Come on. That's the way that we think. It's like so weird. And yet the Bible said that if you're a son of God, He is going to talk to you. That's a sign that you are, in fact, a son of God. Now, notice it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. It didn't say, for as many as led by prophets. It didn't say for as many as are led by feelings. It didn't say for as many as are led by prophecies. How many are getting this now? Okay. The primary way God's going to lead you is from within you, not from without. It's not somebody else telling you what God is saying to you about you. It's what God is saying to you about you. You need to get that clear. Because if you go the other direction, you open yourself to all kinds of spiritual abuse and manipulation. What kind of a father would I be if I never spoke to my children? Okay? So as a child of God, we should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. In fact, it's the primary way that you know that you are a child of God. In Romans 8 and 16, it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That bearing witness is an inward witness. It is an inward witness. Now, it is not a physical feeling. So we try and take you away from the fact that it's a feeling. It is actually more of a knowing. It's more of a knowledge. There's another scripture in 1 John 5 and 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. How many of you believe in the Son of God? Can I see your hand? If you believe in the Son of God. Okay. Now, how many of you know that you know inside of you that all is well between you and God? Okay? How many of you know that you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? How weird is that? My grandma, who was a Christian her whole life, when I said to her, I said, Oma, I said, you're going to go to heaven when she dies? She said, Henry, don't blaspheme. I said, what do you mean blaspheme? She said, nobody can know. I said, I know. She said, I'm telling you, she said, the God's going to strike you down. You can't say stuff like that. I said, yes, I can. Because inside of me, I know. Because the word says so, and I did what the word says, and I have a knowing inside my knower that it's okay. It's cool between me and God. It's all right. I can't explain it, but there's a knowledge inside of me. And I said, you need to have that. And every person who is a Christian, who is sitting in a church, needs to know that there is that inner knowing that they're children of God. It's unshakable knowledge, right? Okay, unshakable. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't respond to an altar call when there's an altar call because you're feeling convicted about something and you want to clear it up and you want to have communion or whatever. I'm not saying that's not going to happen to you. You know, you could respond, but there's a deep, deep sense inside of you that all is well. That is your spirit bearing witness with you that you are, in fact, a son of God. Now, would you agree with me that that is, in fact, the most important decision we'll ever make as humans? Receiving Jesus. Eternity. The second most important decision is marriage. Being married to the wrong person this side of eternity is also eternity. A woman once said to me, I know I'm going to go to heaven. I said, why? She said, because I've had hell on earth already. Been married to the wrong person. So, the fact that you know that you're a Christian is a comfortable sensation inside of you. You don't get up in the morning and feel whipped by God to pray. You don't feel whipped to go to church. As Kimberly said, there was a strong desire. She wanted to come to church. And when the traffic was hindering her, she began to weep, oh God, I wanted to be in church. That desire is not somebody compelling you under the law. You have got to be in church. It's an internal desire. I want to be there. God loves me and I want to return that love and I want to be strengthened and encouraged. That is what I'm talking about. It's that internal comfortable sensation is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is just as supernatural, but it is not as spectacular as visions and dreams or word of knowledge, you know, couched in prophecy. So, when a prophet comes into town or a prophetess comes into town, the numbers always swell in church because people are looking for a comforting word from the prophet. That comforting word is more spectacular. It's more spectacular, but it's not more miraculous. If somebody has a dream or a vision, it's spectacular, but it's no more supernatural than the Lord talking to you directly to your heart. Okay. So, oftentimes what happens is that people are looking for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural. How do we discern then? How do we discern the leading of the Holy Spirit? To do or not to do? To buy, not to buy. To marry, not to marry. To sell, not to sell. To change job? This is the question, right? How do we discern it? So, another story. As some of you know, for 4 years, during my retirement from the ministry, I worked for Princess Cruises as an art director, the same as Cindy and Hayne, doing auctions. And it was a tough time during that time because, as you know, these hands are not used to that kind of work. Loading containers at midnight without any disciples or deacons to help. Nevertheless, God blessed us. We made a determination that we were going to be financial channels. And that's what we set ourselves up. We're in the secular world. We're going to witness daily. We're going to lift the Lord, but we're going to make sure that we become financial channels. It's a sure way of getting blessed. So that's what we set about doing. Well, in the year 2005, it was my fourth year of being there, around about July, I was surfing the net, which was part of what I did as research, to see what the prices are out in the marketplace so that I can do comparisons. And then when I get on the ship next time and say, listen, this is what Wentworth Galleries is selling it for. This is what somebody else is selling it for. So that we would have these comparisons. Then we say, look, we got it at 50% less. Same piece of art. So, you know, this is a thing that we do on a regular basis. Well, one of my sites that I used to go to was artbrokers.com. And it has 1 or 2 million pieces of art for sale. And it's not a gallery, but it's people on the street selling their art to other people on the street. So it's not a gallery, but it's a virtual gallery. So it was a place that I could really get some good ideas of what was going on in the market. Well, I happened to come across a piece of art by a lady by the name of Alexandra Nikita. And Alexandra at that time was only 20 years old, I think maybe going on to 21 years old. And I saw this piece of art, and she did when she was 8 years old. They were calling her the Petite Picasso at the time. And I had a strong urge to buy this piece of art. Now, they were wanting $25,000 for it. Okay, just relax, it's my story. So because they were only wanting $25,000, I knew they didn't know the value. So I called and I negotiated with them down to $20,000. And they were very happy. So I bought the piece of art for $20,000. And Jackie nearly had a litter of kittens. Okay? I mean, this is like, Henry, what are you doing? Are you out of your mind? $20,000 for a single piece of art? We could remodel the whole house. Okay? But I had an urge to do it. Well, what I didn't know was that a year later, I would be contacted by Alexandra Nikita. I wish I'd brought you the picture of us, of our family together with her, and asked by her and her manager to actually do auctions on land for her. The moment that happened, I put the word out that I had one of these very, very large pieces of art for sale and sold it within a week or two for $150,000. So I was able to give, you know, some introduction commissions away and give $20,000 to the Lord and still be left with $100,000 after purchase price. Not bad for a year of doing nothing except watching on the wall. Jackie was quite happy with the kittens after that. Okay? Now, yes, there was knowledge involved in it, but also the leading of the Holy Spirit. How many times have you felt through the knowledge to do something and it turned out bad egg? Okay? Been there, done that as well. But I want to share with you, how did I know that this was the Lord leading me to do this? Well, by the way, I sold it in about July of 06, right when the art market went soft. Died. So, God's good. He knows all things, right? Okay. How do you discern? Okay. How do you know to do it, not to do it? To do A or B? To choose this one or to choose that one? How can you know positively? This is how you know. You look inward, like through inner vision. You look inward, not outward. I'm not looking for a sign. I'm looking inward, okay? I'm looking in here because Jesus told us that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So this center part of your body is where the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your spirit. Too much information. You don't need to know it. But I'm telling you to look inside here, not here. Not pointing at my head. I'm pointing at my head. Don't look in your head. You're looking inside your inner being, inside right here. Okay? You look inside. Do I do it or don't I do it? If I'm looking and I get this, I get a comfortable sensation, velvet, smooth, green light, there's peace, I feel at rest, I feel warm, I feel open. Inside here there's an easiness. I'm thinking about do I do it, don't I do it? And I have a comfortable sensation. I imagine myself doing it. I imagine, I'm going to do that. Now what happens inside here? There's comfortable, there's peace. There's a sense that I have the faith I can do it. I'm not afraid. I'm not scared of it. Oh, you think you can do it? I know. Actually, I'm quite comfortable. I know I can do it. Really? Yeah, but it's a huge risk. I don't sense the risk. I don't sense that. I sense a peace. I feel like there's a go light here. There's a go ahead. I have a knowledge that I could actually go ahead and do this and succeed. I feel like I put my faith to this and it's going to succeed. I have a real, real go comfort green light inside. Now, what happens if the opposite is true? I look back inside here and I'm getting the signal not to do it. How do I know I'm not supposed to do this? Be warned. It's going to hurt you. Don't. Negative. Choose B. Don't do A. Look for something else. I look inside here and I begin to get another signal that's coming out of here. This time it's an uneasy signal. It's like, man, I can't put my finger on it, but I'm just not happy. What I do, I project myself into making the decision. I project myself into the future and I say, how will I feel if I make this decision to marry her or to marry him or to take this job or to take this house or to do this or to make this investment? And you project yourself. Can you do that? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Okay. So I project myself into the future and then I look inside and I go, oh, bladed wire, barbed wire, unhappy, don't have the faith for this. I'm afraid. I think this is going to fail. I'm so nervous about this. I don't think I'm even sleeping properly at night. I project myself in the future. Oh, no. He is so the wrong guy. Oh, no. Absolutely. I just know I'm not going to be happy with this. I don't have the faith to accomplish it. And if I do this thing, ooh, I'm just not even sure that it's, I feel disturbed. That is a clear indication, don't do it. You say, well, that sounds like feelings. I know it sounds like feelings. But that's the only way I can try and interpret this to you so that you can read it correctly. Okay? It's going to require that you read it, that you understand, that you interpret this, what's going on inside you. And I'm telling you, when I had the thing to pray for Jackie or to pray for Cindy, it was no bigger than that. That's where it started. Just that. Man, there's something wrong. I'm unhappy. There's something wrong. I knew something about it. And I didn't know what it was. I wasn't making any decisions. This was wrong. Something's wrong. There's danger. And I went to pray about it because I didn't know. But if I'm facing a decision and I get that, it's very easy to decide which way I'm going to go. And that is the Holy Spirit leading you. So we need to concentrate on developing that inner witness because it is the primary method that God is going to use to lead you. Okay? Don't be looking for visions. Don't be looking for dreams. That's the way he's going to lead you. All right, can you stand another one? We're going to move on to the inward voice. Now, we talk about the inward witness. Now, we're going to talk about the inward voice. Inward voice is not authoritative. It's a gentle voice. It's not authoritative. So we're not talking about the voice of the Holy Spirit when you have got to do it whether you like it or not because you are absolutely being told to do it. Well, some of the prayer issues that I've had was that was like, I can't do anything, I have to respond. But the inward voice, now listen, let me give you another story. Last year, I had an opportunity to get involved, investment with a company. And we started off slowly, and I did my due diligence on the company. And I put a little more money into it, did some more investment, did some more due diligence, kept on working on it, put some more money until I eventually put everything that I owned in it. Everything I owned, every dime of cash that I had. Okay? Now that would cause you not to sleep. You talk about putting all the eggs in one basket? I had one egg in one basket. Everything I owned. And I began to sense an unhappiness, red flags. And I kept on wondering, is it because I'm so at risk? Or is there something wrong with this company? And so I continued to do more due diligence, audits, and more red flags came up. And then the month of February of this year, I began to have sleepless nights. Not that I didn't sleep at all, but that I would wake up from not being restful. You know, I'm not all the way through. I'm waking up. And I'm also having odd dreams that are disturbing dreams. And they're disturbing me about this investment in this company. You see? So I'm starting to, as lightning quick brain that I've got, it's 6 months now, that I'm... don't want to take my money out because I'm making 10% a month. You know, $30,000, $40,000 a month, not bad. You wouldn't want to take your money out. Come February, I feel absolutely, this is it. I got to take it out. Beginning of March, I made my decision. I meet with some of the other investors. There was about 20 of us Christians, okay? Had millions of dollars invested. I met with some of them, other pastors, other churches. And I said, I'm taking my money out. I think you should too. The 10th of March, my brother calls me, Theo, and he says, hey, listen, man, I had a strange dream about you last night. I said, really? He said, yeah, I had a dream that you and Hain were swimming in a pool of water, but it was a dirty pool. And what's more, there was a sewer leaking into the pool that you were swimming in. And you just didn't know. You weren't having such a good time. And every time I wanted to talk to you, you'd dive back under the sewer-filled water. He said, is everything okay in your life? And I am not going to tell my brother that he's hearing God. Are you kidding me? No way. I'm totally more spiritual than he is. I heard it long ago. Long ago. This, what's this telling me now? What was that? Absolute confirmation. See? Absolute confirmation. Could I interpret that dream? Yeah. So on the 12th of March, I met with another pastor. I said, I am out. I shared the dream that my brother had had. I said, we are out. I'm pulling everything out of the out of this place. Getting out. Told my children. They were involved as well. So, we have to notify them on the 14th of March. We're pulling the money out. Notify them. This is it. The 23rd of March. Hain decides to dump a whole lot of money in. I said, seriously, you know? He said, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be fine for a while. Okay. I tell Cindy, listen, you borrowed money. You need to take some of that money out. She says, okay. So she contacts them. She says, wire me the money. But they sent her a check. 24th or 25th of March, the administrator calls me. He says, Henry, you're taking an awful lot of money out of the account. I said, yes, I know, I know. He said, can I send you a check? And I said, no, I actually want you to wire me the money. My money arrives in the bank. The next day, I deposit Cindy's check that came in the mail. And the Friday, that was Wednesday, the Friday, business shuts down. I'm the only person who got the money out, made $170,000 in 7 months. My dear children lost everything they had. And everybody else around me lost their money. Am I special? No. But I take time every day to be quiet in the morning. I don't pray loud, noisy, just talk, love him, little praise and worship music. That's it, just talk with him a little bit. But I stay tuned all day. I'm listening all day. And when I start to see red flags and things, I start to pray a little more, do a little more. So I combine reason and business logic, combine that with the spirit. There's a combination. It's not just weird spiritual. Okay? Now, Cindy's check got out, deposited, and it bounced. If I had taken a check, I'd have lost every dime I owed. Everything I owned, I'd have lost everything. I'd have been living on the street. I'm not recommending to you to do that as a business practice. Not good, okay? But I want to share with you that God rescued me based on the scriptures. He said he would. He said, I'm not willing to do without a cheerful giver. Not that he wasn't unwilling to do without Cindy or Hain, but they have to learn their own lessons, which they have. And we had a meeting at our home. We had about 15 investors around at our home, and we were talking. And Hain spoke up like a prophetic word, and he said, guys, we lost our money because of greed. And everybody wanted to slap him, but the truth was said. See? Truth was said. So he took his medicine, moving on, but they've learned a heck of a lot, okay? So it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, it doesn't matter if you're the PK, that means preacher's kid, you can still blow it and miss God, okay? Learn to respond when the Spirit of God talks to you, learn to respond, and you can, and he will. Can you take a few more minutes?
Yes.
All right. You and I are a tripart being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Tripart. Each one of those parts can hear. Each one of them can hear. Feeling is the voice of your body. Your body can speak and can feel. It can hear. Feelings. Okay? We could also maybe go to emotions, but emotions are actually part of the soul realm. Then we have logic or reason, and that is the voice of the soul or the mind. Logic or reason. And then you have conscience. Conscience is the voice of your spirit. Okay? All right. So, God is a spirit, and since he communicates with our spirit, we can't say accurately, I feel God's presence. Because in our terminology in today's world, when I say I feel something, then I'm talking about a physical touch. Mm-hmm. Right? Physical touch. Now, there are times when your body reacts to God's presence. And I'm going to show you that. I'll show you just one scripture out of that. Your body reacts sometimes to the anointing. But you ought not to use your body as the thermometer of whether or not that was the anointing. Your body is not reading the anointing. Your spirit man is reading the anointing. Okay, so God is going to talk to your spirit man. Now, on rare occasions, your body will react to the anointing, and you will know that this is something that is really beyond physical. For example, you could lose all the strength in your body. Happened with Ingrid today. We prayed for her for healing. She lost all the strength in her body, and she fell down on the floor. She just crumpled. Okay? Nobody kicked her. I'm not plugged into the electrical wire somewhere. Shocked the living daylights out of her. Okay? She didn't do it to draw attention to herself. She couldn't stand. The strength went out of her body and she fell down. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Okay, all right, so you know what I'm talking about. On occasion, your body will tremble. Your body will tremble. You'll sense it going through you and you'll stand there and you'll be like, oh, I don't want people to see this, like too much caffeine. What the heck is this? Okay, you'll sense like a trembling going through your body. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about violent shaking like this where you're knocking people's hats off in church. Okay? Or you're trying to take off. You're a bird on a runway. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about maybe your body will just begin to tremble and it's like an internal, kind of internal shaking. Okay? Sometimes you find you can't speak. And that might be a rarity for some of you. You find you can't speak. Like, The Bible does say, be quiet, know that I'm the Lord, right? Okay, so let's have a look at one of these examples from the Old Testament so that you can understand what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to say to you again, this is a rarity. We're not supposed to live by this example. This is an Old Testament example, and Daniel was not filled with the Spirit like you are today. Daniel did not have a born-again spirit man, which is a new wine container. The old wine containers, the old spirit man, could not take the indwelling spirit. You had to be born again to have a new container that could take the new wine. Jesus said, if you take new wine and you put it into the old wineskin, it will destroy the wineskin. He was talking about the spirit man. Right. Daniel chapter 10, verse 7. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. Why were they afraid? Because they saw what happened to Daniel. They couldn't see the vision, but they saw the effect on Daniel. And it so frightened them that they ran screaming. They got out of there. Now, he said, I was left alone gazing at this great vision. Now, watch what he says. I had no strength left. No strength. Which means he probably fell down. Yes. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. When Ingrid went down, that felt to her like she was asleep, but she could hear. She was here, but not all here. She was more conscious of the spirit world than of the physical world. But she was not unconscious. Am I you following with me? Are you tracking with me? Because I know some of you, this is like, what? Stay with me now, please. Okay, it's in the Bible. I'm not saying anything that's not in the Bible. It's there right in the Word. So, I was in a deep sleep, face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He's trembling. He's on his hands and knees. And he's trembling. And the voice said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words that I'm about to speak to you and stand up. For I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. He's now following what this angel is telling him to do. So he stood up, but he's still trembling. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the vision concerns the time yet to come. Now, because you've been with me for some months, what would that be called in the gifts of the Spirit? A word of wisdom. Why? Future. Future tense. Okay? He's seeing a vision. He's going to tell him about the future. It's a word of wisdom. Right? So, I'm going to tell you about the future. While he was saying this to me, I bowed my face towards the ground and I was speechless. There it is. Couldn't talk. The anointing of God is so strong on him, he is speechless, he is weak, he is trembling, he has no physical strength in his body. The only reason he's standing is because the angel said stand. Otherwise, he would be on the floor still in the praying position, hands and knees. Then one who looked like a man, that's what the angel looks like, he looks like a man. He touched my lips, and I opened my mouth, and I began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I'm overcome with anguish, fear, because of the vision. My Lord, he calls the angel Lord, it's a small L. I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk to you? How can I talk to you? You're a being, you're an angel, you're from another world. I don't have a right to talk to you. I mean, the guy is scared. How many times has it happened to you, somebody walks into the room and calls your name and says, hey, I want to tell you something, and you go, what does that bum? You just about scared me to death, right? And that's why angels haven't appeared to you yet. No, because you would die of fright. Okay. How can I, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Even in his chest, he can't breathe, can't take a breath. Again, the one who looked like a man, now he touched me and he gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man, esteemed, highly esteemed. Peace, be strong, be strong. He spoke peace to him. That's how Daniel got the strength. He spoke it to him. Critical. He spoke strength to him. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened, and he said, speak, my Lord, for you have given me strength. All right, so now, when the physical body comes in contact with a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit like that, who do you think is going to win? Seriously. There is no way your flesh can stand up against the presence of God or an angel in such manifestation. That's what happened to him. The anointing on this angel, the presence of God, was so strong that the physical body collapsed. That is why you will need a new body to be in the presence of the Lord, a resurrected body without blood in it. You will not be able to stand before God in this physical body. Okay, so I want to caution you now, because we've just seen this amazing thing happen, not to walk by feelings. Don't try and interpret everything by feelings. You have to live according to the Word of God and according to what your spirit is leading you. Or the Holy Spirit is leading you. Don't let your physical body try and tell you whether God's there or God is not there. Don't let your physical body, the tent that you're living in, tell you this is God or this is not God. Let the word of God judge every situation, and let your spirit man, together with the word of God, lead you. If you, listen, if teenagers let their bodies lead them, actually they already do. So, all right, moving along. We should be spiritually sensitive to his presence all the time because he lives in us. One of the greatest ministers of all time, Smith Wigglesworth, had the greatest healing ministry other than the apostles and Jesus. Man from England. He said this famous quote. He said, "I am not moved by what I feel. I am not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by what I believe. I cannot understand God with my mind. I understand God by what the word says about him. And Jesus Christ is everything the word says that he is." That will help you all of your life if you can remember that. Not moved by what I see, not moved by what I feel, moved by what you believe. You believe the word of God. All right, we'll be done in 3 minutes. Is your conscience then, which is the voice of your spirit, a safe guide? Because I'm telling you now to listen to the voice of your conscience. Is it a safe guide? Well, Paul says it was in Romans 9:1. He said, "I tell you the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience always bearing witness with me." My conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Ghost. So he used his conscience to bear witness with his spirit that he was telling the truth. He never violated his conscience. Never violated his conscience. The inward man has a voice, just as the outward man has a voice. The voice of the inward man, the spirit, we call conscience. We call that conscience, or the still small voice. The still small voice is a whisper. It is not an authoritative voice. Let me give you an example of this. Elijah. Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 19, he stopped rain for 3.5 years. Caused a drought because Israel was not obeying God. So he caused a drought. He said, "It'll not rain again until by my words." Okay? Then he challenges the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, kills 450 of them, calls fire from heaven, burns up the sacrifice that's soaked in water, calls the rain, tells his Ahab friend, "Get down the mountain, it's gonna rain." He runs 20 miles. He runs 20 miles for an old man. Ahead of chariots, beats them down the hill before the rain comes, okay? Down Mount Carmel, gets to the bottom, is a mighty day. What a victory. And then he hears that Queen Jezebel is going to kill him. And now he runs for his life. This is one woman. He just killed 450 of her prophets. He runs from one woman. There's something wrong with this picture. Oh, mighty man. What is going on with you? He runs and wants to commit suicide. He goes and hides under a juniper tree and says, "Come and die, I mean, die." Great depression often follows great evangelistic outreaches. Preachers don't realize it. Anyway, another story, right? Because you're not preachers, you don't need to know. Look what happens. 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 13. The Lord said to him, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by." Now, this is us. This is you and me. Oh, God, talk to me. God, show up. I am desperate. Jesus, walk into my room. Talk to me in dreams. Let me know it's you. Come on, Jesus. Come on, God. Show me. None of you have ever prayed that prayer, but I have. I need to know. Lord, you know that I'm so messed up right now that I could never hear. I've got to have a personal appearance. Jesus, you come and tell me. I promise you, before the Lord, I've prayed that. And if you were honest with me, you'd have said me too. Okay, but never mind. A great wind, powerful wind, comes past the front of the past the cave, tears up the mountain, shatters the rocks. This is a wind. Before the Lord, it's coming before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Say, the Lord was not in the wind. Okay. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Say, the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. We have had huge winds, earthquakes, fire. And guess what? The Lord was not in the fire. Say the Lord was in the fire. Okay. After the fire came a gentle whisper. And we all said, God, you've got to turn up the volume. Right? If you expect me to hear you, stop the whispering. Can't stand it when people whisper about me. Talk louder. And Elijah heard the whisper, and he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out, and he stood at the mountain, stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here? Not the wind, not the fire, not the earthquake. Little voice. So what am I telling you? You have to listen for the gentle whisper. Other of your Bibles will call it the still small voice. Still small voice. That is the inward voice speaking to you. The inward voice speaking to you. If you want to hear, I have one thing to say to you. Be quiet. Be quiet. How many of you know you've been there, your head is so noisy. You put your head down to try and sleep, and you might as well have the boombox going off in your head because everything is rushing around there 1,000 miles a minute. It's so loud, you can't think straight. Right? But nobody else can hear it. Only you. Noise right here. How preachest thou? Yeah, yeah, you say it's the truth, brother. Okay? All right. So listen now. You have to get quiet. That's why I spend my hour every day by myself in my office at home, door shut, with gentle music playing that we sing here every Sunday. And I sit there on my chair and tell the Lord how much I love him and how much I appreciate his wisdom. And I just talk with him quietly. And everybody else in the house is sleeping. They don't even know that I'm talking. Because if I can get quiet, I might be able to hear. Are you listening to me? And that's what I do every day. That's how I get quiet before the Lord. And I listen. And I just talk gently. And I listen. And I listen. And I start to interpret what he's saying to me. That's how I know what to do in the church. That's how I know what to preach. Because he tells me. That's it. He just tells me. And then I prepare it after that. There's two major reasons why we don't hear. Number one, we're too busy. Number two, we don't want to. Too busy, don't want to. So the question is your conscience a safe guide? Paul said in Acts 23:1, he said, looking earnestly at the council and men, he said, I've lived in good conscience before God until this day. Paul always obeyed his conscience. Now, if you are a born-again new creature in Christ Jesus, then God lives in your spirit man. Yes? Okay. If God lives in you, the life of God is in you, the wisdom of God is in you, everything God has is in you. So then if you allow your spirit man to speak to you, then you should get the wisdom of God. You should get the guidance of God. It should be fine. So provided you have fed your spirit man with the word of God, then it's a safe guide. If you are not born again, if you have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm going to say something here, and I don't want to hurt anybody, but your spirit man is dead to God and has an influence from the father of lies. The Bible says, you are of your father. That's what Jesus said. We're under the power and the sway of the evil one. That's why people will kill left, right, and center. We see it on the TV every single day. You get fired, I kill you. And I'll kill 10 people with you. I escape from prison and I kill and rape and stab all across America. Why? Because my conscience is not a safe guide. My conscience is under the power of the evil one who allows me to do anything I want to without remorse. Your conscience is what gives you remorse. That is the yardstick. That's what's guiding you. Only if you feed the word of God into it will it be a safe guide. So, Stay sensitive. Stay sensitive to your conscience. If you constantly are disobeying your conscience, constantly overruling it, when it's telling you don't do this and you violate it, this is what's going to happen. It's going to become more and more difficult for you to receive spiritual instruction. It's going to become more and more difficult for you. The word, the voice of God is going to be indistinct, and you're going to end up with what the Bible calls a seared conscience. A seared conscience, you cannot distinguish between right and wrong. You cannot. So stay tenderhearted. When you miss it, correct it immediately. Don't let it delay. Correct it immediately. Fix it up. Keep a tender conscience. You're wanting to hear the voice of God. You're going to have to stay tender and sensitive. Okay? All right. That's enough. We were going to pray for the sick and everything from 12 o'clock, so I just used that time. We reversed it. The Holy Spirit decided to minister to you before. So we're good. Okay? Are you getting something out? All right. I'm wanting to help you. We have limited time with you each week, so I want to help you as much as I can. I'm going to recommend that you go to our website, thepromisesd.com. Listen to it. Willem, when do you think it'll be up? When do you plan to do it? By tonight? Okay, by tonight it'll be up. Willem is going to be in charge of our website, and we really thank him so much for everything he's doing. So you can go up, listen to it, re-listen to it, re-listen to it, re-listen, begin to put this into practice. It's life and death, or it's the loss of everything you have, or it's profiting beyond your wildest dreams. You choose whether you want to listen. It's up to you. Nothing more I can do. Okay? God bless you. We'll continue next week. We'll go a little further next week with it. All right. Awesome. Please pick up the trash around you, and let's meet across there. Peggy is across there for those who want to sign up for that Monday afternoon, Labor Day. And there's some refreshments.